just got to get out of that flesh. And they were all filled. And they were all, every one of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. And they were all filled. Everybody. All of them. Men and women. Men and women. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues, a holy language. This first evidence. So God affects your mouth. Because if you ever was to move to a foreign country, the first thing you have to do is learn the language so you could fit and function. So what did he do? When he brought us into the kingdom, he changed our language. And gave us the ability to communicate with him supernaturally. The natural man don't understand these things. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But I can talk to God in a language that can't nobody else understand. That's supernatural. That can put me in another arena of living. And when I learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, pray in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Joy in the Spirit. And I got a whole lot of stuff here that the Bible talks about what the Holy Ghost does in us when he comes. It's more than I can tell you this morning. But I want to challenge you today to crucify your flesh. Identify those gentle promptings and urges and those nudges that God has put in your spirit and stop ignoring them because they are keeping you out of the realm of the supernatural. You need to learn how to go with the flow. And your flesh going to always rise up and offer opposition and going to oppose the will of God in your life. But you got to crucify your flesh. Paul said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means I myself would be a castaway after having preached to others. Examine your own heart. Check your own spirit out. What is the Holy Spirit been moving you to do that you just been procrastinating on? You're not listening. You're ignoring him. Not paying attention. Sometimes we get intoxicated with this world. And we're too drunk on this world to hear what the Spirit of God's saying with us. And that power lies dormant in us. Satan have neutralized the church because he intoxicate us with the world. And we get so caught up with worldly activities and worldly mindsets that we don't have time to listen to the Holy Spirit when he say, read your word. When he say, spend a little more time praying. Those are instructions from the Holy Spirit that if you listen and obey it, now you're going to have to overcome your flesh to do it. Because flesh don't ever want to do nothing spiritual. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. You got to renew your mind that you need to submit to God every day. You need to give your heart to him. You need to humble yourself every day and acknowledge your dependence on God, upon God. And then you have to say, Lord, my life is yours today. Command me the way you want me. Tell me what you want me to do. And I'm going to tell you, that's hard on flesh. Flesh that ain't crucified will be like a bear. Flesh that ain't crucified try to slap your spirit all around. Say, shut up in there. But you need to put flesh in its place. And say, I'm going to live out of my spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will keep witnessing to you what you need to do. He'll start giving you visions about what you'll see yourself doing something. You need to listen to that and obey that because it's going to take you out of that natural realm, because in that natural realm, there's nothing but toil and stress and frustration. Rick Renner, he was expounding on Galatians 5:6, walk in the Spirit. He said, other scholars say that could have been translated Stroll in the Spirit. Take a stroll. See, a stroll means a leisurely walk. I mean, free from anxiety, free from frustration, free from pressure, free from turmoil. That's the way God wants you to live. And Jesus is our example, because when Jesus got bad news, you should see how he responded to it. When they came and told him they just chopped off John the Baptist's head, what did Jesus do? He went out and he healed the sick. He said, you go tell that fox that I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I'm going to be perfected. He said, that's how he said, I got a message for the devil. You tell him, I'll get him. And he went out there and he ministered to people. When they came to him and told him, Lazarus is sick. He's about to die. What did Jesus do? Waited 4 days. What would most people do? Boys, get up, let's go. We got to go. Lazarus about to die. Let's get there right now before he die. What did Jesus do? He strolled in the Spirit.
Amen.
5,000 men hungry, not including women and children. He looked at his disciples and said, go feed them. See, he's introducing them to a supernatural way of living. He said, you go feed them. And what did they do? In the natural, they say, we don't have enough, because they looked in the natural. Then Jesus said, well, what do you have? We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. And what did he do? He turned that around and he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. He said, Father, bless this. And he gave thanks to God. He said, now set them down in companies of 50. See, he wasn't agitated or disturbed or anything. He didn't care what the number was. Why? Because he's living in a supernatural arena. He's not governed by the natural laws. When he went up into a mountain to pray, and the disciples left him, he just started walking on the water. And he wasn't walking fast. He was taking his time. That's how he lived. He lived in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And when you live in that arena, then it removes the stress and the turmoil from your life, to where you are just dependent upon your Father, because he also had this mindset. I only say what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see him doing.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in 2 locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
He's a prayer hearing and answering God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Faithful is our God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, rather. Listen, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I won't just talk for a little while. If we change our minds, we can change our lives. If we change our minds, we can change our lives. My brothers and sisters, I think this word is so important, relevant to the believers today, to help us understand that we have fallen many times into molds and into holes that hold us captive to the world's thinking, to the world's mentality, to the world's way of doing things. And it is beneath the privilege of the believers of God. We don't realize how God has given to us power and authority to overcome everything in this world that's not like him. How God has given to us, with the faculty of our mind and understanding his word, how we literally can change our lives by changing our minds or our mindset. Amen, amen. To understand that God's way is not only the right way, but it's the best way. And for the believer, it's the only way. Amen. And as we begin to recognize the reason for the word of God, the reason God has revealed his mind in written form, the word of God, the Bible, is so that we can know, not think, not feel, not guess, not hope, but know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And my brothers and sisters, it'll change your life when you begin to understand a reality from God's point of view instead of the world's point of view. The world has contaminated our thinking with all kinds of cancerous thoughts, with all kinds of thoughts that are unholy and ungodly and unrighteous and so different from God that God has no place in our thought processes. And we wonder why God does not deal with us and dwell with us, because our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, and he can't dwell in an unclean temple. And so we've got to clean it up. We've got to get it together, but it must begin with our minds understanding the word, the will, and the way of God, so much so that the Holy Ghost will desire to dwell in this place. Look at what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He says, in light of this fact, I beg you to listen to me. By the mercies, the tender mercies of God. And Paul is saying this because Paul has declared that he was chief sinner. And if the Lord could save him, there's hope for anybody. And so he's saying, I beseech ye therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. If you notice, most sacrifices are dead. They kill the sacrifice, pour the blood out, And the sacrifice that sacrificed his life is dead for us. But the one who really made the sacrifice is dead. Think about it. We're not really making the sacrifice when we, you know, kill a cow, kill a lamb, kill a chicken, whatever. It's them that made the sacrifice. Come on, talk to me, somebody. They're the ones that no longer have a life. We have a life after we sacrifice them. But Paul puts a different spin on this. He said that we should be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That means that our lives is not given to God one act, one time, but every day, all day. We're a living sacrifice. Everywhere we go, we represent God. We represent him in his holiness. We represent him in his thoughts. We represent him in his action. We represent him as his children. We represent him as ambassadors. We represent him as the people of God. We make sacrifices in this flesh because he, through his son, made sacrifices in the flesh that gave us the right to know him in an intimate and personal way. And so therefore, God is looking upon us now to make a different kind of sacrifice, because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to bring us in right relationship with God. But we've got to make the right relationship, the right sacrifice to stay in right relationship with him. That's by not allowing the flesh to live above the spirit. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back from the enemy. We no longer belong to the devil, and I got news for you. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. So listen, to make a sacrifice to be holy, for us to be acceptable, is our reasonable service. Whatever we do for God, whatever we sacrifice for God, listen to this. Paul says it's reasonable. You know, God requires so much of us as it relates to being his children and as it relates to us being able to walk and live in righteousness and do, and all of that might seem hard, but here is the difference that we must understand. It's because of him that we have life, and because we have life, every day the life we have is not really ours, but it's the Lord Jesus inside of us being lived through us. So to be alive, to live the life, is our reasonable service. In other words, he woke us up this morning to represent him. So anything he asks of us to do ought not be too much to do. We ought not complain about praising him. We ought not complain about being a witness for him, because he could not have awakened us today. He could not have woke us up this morning. He could have left us in that place called sleep. But he got us up afresh, gave us health and strength and energy and all of that. And whatever we do for his glory is our reasonable service. Now he moves on and he says, and be not conformed. Now there are two commands here that I want you to look at. Be not conformed and be ye transformed. Let's deal with the conformed first. Because when he talks about conform, this word literally means to fashion or to mold. And so what it means is that we as people of God have got to recognize that we cannot allow ourselves to be fashioned after the mindset of the world. If the world is doing it, it's okay for the world, because that's the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. We belong to God, and therefore we should be fashioning our lives after Christ. We should have the mind of Christ in us, not the mind of the world in us. And see, the problem with too many of us is we allow everything to work with our minds but the Word. We let television work with our minds, movies work with our minds, commercials, magazines, music, peers, the streets, all kinds of influences from this world. We allow all of that to work with our minds rather than us using the Word to go into our minds and wash all of that junk out of our minds and replace it with something healthy and nutritious for us to think on, for us to live by, for us to grow by, for us to know Him by. It is important for us to know that we must not be conformed, fashioned after this world. When we start looking more like the world than the church, it means that the world has taken rule over us. When we come into the church looking like we came out of the club. You know, I'm going to address this issue, you know, with the churches now lowering their standards so you can wear shorts to church, you can wear cut-off jeans to church, you can wear all this mess, and then you want to talk about, well, the Lord said, come as you are. No, that ain't what He said. That's what you took it to mean. He meant as your heart is, whatever situation your life is in, how broken you may be, you come as you are. But you learn when you come as you are, He lifts you up so that you desire to give Him nothing but your best.
Yeah, Yes, sir.
You come like you are to the world stuff. You don't come to God like that. When you buy into the world, I want to be comfortable. Comfortable, it's your reasonable service. If you go nowhere else dressed up, if you go nowhere else giving God your best, if you go no other place where you want to show God how much you appreciate what He's done for you, it ought to be in His house. We spend more time and money getting ready to go to a ball, to a party, to an outing, than we do to come serve the God of the universe. Come into His presence any kind of way and think it's all right. Spend more than 45 minutes we looking at our time, think about what else we got to do. If we stay here 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, when you think of what He's done for you, that, matter of fact, you are that. If that's the issue, leave your watch in your car. Because you ought to be able to say, God, you give me so much. The least I can do is be in worship until the service is over and enjoy you in the present moment. And so when people realize, I don't want to work with your doubt. I want to work with your faith. Got enough folk messing with that, causing you to believe this and causing you to believe that. Got our young people all messed up socially. Got our young people all twisted in the world, all perverted with the stuff they've got. Our young girls, barely teenagers, looking like hookers out on the street, and we think that's good. And our parents are approving of that mess. There's something wrong with that picture. You got a 13-year-old girl. Can I tell you, a 13-year-old girl ought to look like a 13-year-old girl. She shouldn't look like a 19-year-old girl. You got some of these low-down fellas out there looking for anything that they can find, and they see somebody young and don't know no better, and they take advantage. But you set them up for that failure. You set them up for that. Well, how do I live? No, you, what? Your mama ain't your girlfriend. Your mama is your mama. Your mama ought not want to hang with you and your girlfriends going to the mall and going to the party, and you look at them and you tell them, that's my sister, because y'all look like y'all dressed alike. They ought to clearly know the mama from the daughter. I'm married. I ain't going to be your friend. Oh, really? Okay, good, because I'm your mama, I'm your daddy, I ain't your friend. As long as I put the roof over your head, put clothes on your back, food in your mouth, let you sleep in my air condition on my bed, you're going to be the roost in my house. Talk on my telephone, watch my TV. No, you ain't my friend. You ain't paying bill one. But it's acceptable in the world for all of that foolishness. And so there is no difference. Listen, we've been bombarded. We've been hoodwinked. We've been fooled. But when you know better, you ought to do better. Some mothers, because they have children so young, they're not but a few years older than their children. I understand that, but look, you got a role to play, an important role to play. And now that you have that role, you need to play that to the fullest, because God is holding you responsible for that role. And so notice what the word says, be not conformed to this world. To this world. Why? Because this world is not our home. This world is not the place where we get our instruction from. This world is not the place where we follow its system. It is us who are in the world bringing light to a dark place. And we can't bring light when we're living in darkness. Wherever a believer is, he or she ought to present light. Light. It might not be much, but it ought to be, if it's just a match. I promise you, if you turned every dark light out in this place and cover every window where there was no light coming in, and somebody way at the back door lit a match, that little bit of light would be seen all over this large room. That's how important that little light is in a dark world. Don't think that you don't matter, because you do. You're thinking. You've got to remove the worldly confines of your thinking. You've got to rise above where you are in your thinking. You've got to get out of this world system in your thinking. The world says you can't do it. But in your mind as a believer, that's not what the word says. The word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, if I don't get it today, I don't give up. I keep trying. Because he's strengthening me. He's giving me more and more power and ability to get this thing done. And I get closer every time I try. It might not happen one time. That's why I've got to realize that this thing is a continual building of building blocks of learning, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I don't wake up one day and it all just happens like that. I've got a whole lot of stuff that's got to be washed out of my mind that causes